translation. Then all the cowherd boys said, "It is Krishna who has done this." When he was in between the two trees, the mortar fell crosswise. Krishna dragged the mortar, and then the two trees fell down. After that, two beautiful men came out of the trees. We have seen this with our own eyes. Purport. Krishna's playmates wanted to inform Krishna's father of the exact situation by explaining that not only did the trees break, but out of the broken trees came two beautiful men. All these things happened, they said. All these things happened, they said. We have seen them with our own eyes. Oh my God. Okay, the verse was Bala Uchur Ananiti Tiryagatam Ulukalam Vikarshatam Jagana Purasav Apyasakshmahi. Then all the coward boys said, "It is Krishna who has done this." When he was in between the two trees, the mortar fell crosswise. Krishna dragged the mortar and the two trees fell down. After that, two beautiful men came out of the trees. We have seen this with our own eyes. Hare Krishna. So Krishna is inconceivable. Well, inconceivable. He's unlimited. Of course, here's the story continues. So the parents or the man there see the trees has fallen over, and there is this little Krishna, in between. And well, this seems like a miracle. Well, mysterious happening, very threatening to the little Krishna. What is happening, going on? And I think this is still in Gokul happening. Yeah, okay, thank you. So we have Gokulananda here. The bliss of Gokul. So he's a very blissful little boy. And all these strange things happens to him. he just attracts happenings. And then he's mysteriously coming out of the situations of life while the demons die to the left and the right. Now here in this pastime, well, what says here is, well, of course, little boys, kids, they can make up stories. But of course, in this part, there is evidence, there is a mortar, there's little Krishna tied to the mortar, and there's two trees that has fallen over. They can hear that it fell over. It's obvious. But then it becomes even more amazing, because then the children, they say that, no, they came out two shining personalities from the trees. We have seen it with our own eyes. Of course, we say, many times we say, "Well, I saw it with my own eyes. You have to believe me." We say, "I saw it on TV. I saw it on the internet." Okay, then we have to be very careful. That's not a proof, not a definite proof. You know, whatever that the modern the, what it is called, false news. I think false news, false information is spread through the internet and. And you can't really then ascertain what is true and what is false, what really happened, what didn't happen. But of course, this is in a golden time, long time ago, when there was no internet and TV. They relied on each other, communicating. It may be good for us also in a way. If we could turn off the TV, well, I don't know. Of course, devotees don't watch TV too much. But maybe we fall victim to checking the news on the internet or something. But then again, we can say, do we get any news? How accurate is it? Still, there's different pranams, proofs. And I think the shastric pranams and indirect, and then there's also actually direct perception. So there that is also a valid source of information, but we have to be careful that we're not, okay, illusioned. And again, how much can we see? But these boys, of course that's boys, kids, so we could speculate. We say a little child comes and tells these extraordinary things. We say, well, children make up things. Maybe you think. Of course, it can also be that children sometimes they can also see that they see more than us. There was one boy in Sweden, well, now grown up devotee. he was growing up in a devotee setting. And he used to see ghosts and things like that. But then he told someone and then he said, no, this is not good. And then it kind of turned off something in him, so then he didn't see anymore. That was his story, of course. Can we believe him? So what can we really believe? Of course, we have the Shastra, Guru Sadhu Shastra. At the same time, some point, we have to use our eyes also. Of course, in order to use our eyes, let's say, if we're not going to use our eyes, we better qualify the eyes. If you say it like that, we train up or rectify our eyes so we can truly see. And then, of course, what I see with my eyes is one thing, but then how I interpret what I see with my in my mind may be a different matter. So I may see someone falling asleep, but of course I may draw a conclusion that the lecture is boring. But it could also be that, in any case, maybe the person is in some deep, absorbed in some meditation. Can happen sometimes. Parikshit Maharaj, he made a mistake in a way. He made a mistake. He misinterpreted what he saw. He coming into the forest, he's hungry, he's thirsty. Coming to the hermit's ashram, going in, I think here must be some water. Is something, you know, I can sit down and rest a little bit. And then the sadhu is sitting in his meditation. He sees that, but he interprets it wrongly. He sees, oh, he's neglecting me. He's just pretending he don't want to receive me. And thus he commits an offense. So that is, because seeing one thing, but also seeing on a inner level, seeing or interpreting what we see, so that we have to be careful. We can say that is a matter of mind control or mind purification, purified mind. We will be able to better understand what we see. And maybe don't take things too serious, what is not serious. Because from Krishna's point of view, what is serious? what's important for us is for him. What's a big thing? Oh, that was a big war. Yes, that was Battle of Kurukshetra. And of course it was a big thing. But then there's other big wars. And then someone died. Then again, Krishna, you know, the wise man laments neither for the living nor the dead. He has a different way of seeing. Of course, you can say, yes, someone died. And of course, it's someone dear to you, then it's important for you. And then a child, newborn child, really, oh, baby, and then someone comes and says, isn't he, oh, see our son, isn't he wonderful? And I scratch my head. I don't scratch my head, but yes, yes. But of course, the beauty is in the parents, because they love the child, so for them, the child is very wonderful and extraordinary. So that way they see in a certain way because of their relationship and what's going on in our mind. So the small boys have seen it with their own eyes, and that for them is proof. I mean, they're telling the truth. And then the coward man standing there with this inconceivable situation, inconceivable or difficult to understand situation. The two big trees did fell over, they made a big crash, and there's Krishna in between. And then this little boy speaks about two beautiful men who came out of the tree. So you cannot say Krishna is inconceivable. Isha chincha beta beta tattva. I mean, this is an inconceivable. How could this happen? Well, it happens. It's Krishna. Of course, for us, it's a reality because we're devotees of Krishna. Maybe it is like I said, with a parent, with a child. You know, isn't my child wonderful? Of course, so we as devotees, we have an appreciation for Krishna. We say, isn't this wonderful? Krishna's pastimes. So with the demons, it's, what is that? Some kind of stories. I'm sorry, but that I could speculate that they interpret it that way. So they will not be able to appreciate it because there's no love for Krishna, no appreciation for Krishna. I know, because when we take darshan of the deities, what do we see? How much do we see of the deities? Of course, I'm going to take darshan of the Lord. But actually, Drashta Drishti. Who is a seer and who is a seen? So in one sense, we're coming in front of the deities and saying, Hare Krishna, I'm here, ready to serve you. What is to be done today? I report. That is what we're doing. And then the Lord kindly looks at us. He sees us for sure. But whether we see him or them, that's another question. Or we see something, but not everything. So what's hiding behind the smile? What are they smiling about? Okay, so here we have Krishna. He's in Gokul. So he's Gokulananda. So you have Gokulananda here on the Lord. That Gokulananda means the bliss of Gokul. So he is very blissful. He's blissful and he gives bliss to his devotees. Whereas the non-devotees say they can't appreciate because they don't love Krishna. There's no love. Okay, at the same time, this is inconceivable that there is this little Krishna in Gokul whom some other Kamsa and the demons have figured out that there's something going on there and he should be killed. So they're sending all these demons is coming and trying to kill him. And they end up getting killed themselves. Because someone can try to defeat Krishna, but no one can defeat Krishna. Ultimately, Krishna defeats everyone in form of death. So, but this is the inconceivable thing that Krishna, he appears, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vasudeva Sarvamiti. He is the source of everything. He is everything. Was that Bhavanam Janmanam Mante Gyanvanam Preparante Vasudeva Savamiti Sahamatma Sudulabha. After many lives, we're sitting here today. whether we are today in the beginning of the journey or approaching the end of the journey is another question. We don't know. But after many lives, we're sitting here. Millions of lives, who knows? Thousands. One has actually come to knowledge. Surrender unto me, Krishna says, knowing me to be the cause of all causes and all that is. And that is in there. He is all that is. Because that's impersonalism. It is inconceivable. Achinta beta beta tattva. He's one with everything and is different from everything. That is in the 9th chapter, Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, that's something, let's see here, I got it. No. Sorry, it does take. a little bit in that way. By me, in my unmanifested form, this entire universe is pervaded. All beings are in me, but I'm not in them. A little bit. Everything is in him, but he's still somewhere else. And that is Krishna. He pervades the whole universe. All beings are in him, but he's not in them. He is somewhere else, in his spiritual abode. You can say that's our Chinchabeda Tattva. So we can't really catch him here. But we can catch him, well, like Mother Yasoda tried to catch Krishna. Oh, it's not easy. But she could catch him because she's a devotee, when Krishna allowed himself to be catched. The demons are trying to catch Krishna, but they don't manage. And maybe we try to catch Krishna also in our japa. Yeah, that was nice japa. A little bit like Narada Muni in his previous life, he was doing his meditation as per the direction of the sadhus, the Bhaktivedantas, taking a bath, drinking water, saying whatever, doing pranayama, sitting down, meditating, focus on the heart, and then the Lord reveals himself to him. So, yeah, caught. Aha, there. And then he is in ecstasy, and then the Lord disappears. And then, of course, he wants to see the Lord again. So then he thinks, if I just do the same thing, then I will get the same result. But it didn't happen. So sometimes also with the japa, if I just do like this or like that or something with a devotional service, then I will get back to that, blissful state. But we may or may not be able to say, take command off and say, if I just do like this, it will be like that. We are dependent on the mercy of Guru Sadusha, Guru Krishna. Okay. So we can't really control Krishna, but we can try to qualify ourselves so that Krishna, he's controlling us in any case. We qualify so that Krishna may want to be close to us. And then, what was it? Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur had an example of the factory or the workplace. So someone of the workers may say, I want to see the boss. I demand. I want my rights. And then the secretary says, sorry, he's busy now or somewhere else. It's not so easy. But if the boss wants to see you because you're doing a nice service for the company, then who can stop him? Then when Krishna wants to see us, when Krishna wants to see us, or make himself seen by us, because in one sense he's seeing us all the time, but when he wants to be seen by us, then who can stop? We say, no, I don't want. Dhruva Maharaj, he said, Krishna, then the Lord Narayana said, okay, now I bless you. He said, I don't want anything now. Well, it doesn't matter. You wanted. Now I bless you. With a long life, ruling a kingdom as he had desired. So the question is, are we qualified to see? How can we qualify ourselves so we see? And that also seeing is believing, but seeing, understanding that coming, do you see? Can you see? Can you understand? Qualify us so we can understand what we see. And maybe qualify us to understand what is in the books. And that was nice yesterday, we heard Prabhu is being reading together, and then they shared, okay, what do you remember? Oh, no, that wasn't really books. It was, but I think you can apply it. Listening to some lecture, and then they asked, what do you remember? Then what did you like of it? And then what can you implement of it in your life? So one can use that, apply it on a book also. Interactive study, so to say. to deepen our understanding, our realization. A diploma on the wall is not worth very much. It has no real value. The value is that what we actually were able to understand ourselves, the real gifts of Krishna. Tarvariya pranipatana pariprasnana sevaya. There Krishna gives a small formula for success, for understanding. We can say for understanding. He says, well, find a guru, surrender, inquire, and serve. And then they say, well, it's not Krishna, but then he said, Tarvariya pranipatana. Then the self-realized soul or the tattva-darshis, they can show you the truth because they've seen the truth. So in that way, our eyes can be opened by the spiritual master, and then we can see. Krishna has these pastimes in Gokul and then in Vrindavan. Because another way of seeing it, we can see it from these transcendental, I may also see it from a different angle. I'm here to look at the cows. I'm appointed, what was it now? I'm appointed, let's see. Iskand European Minister of Cow Protection and Farming. so of course that's why I'm here. And I'm got to give lecture, then I have to say something about the cows. So I thought one way of reading or understanding the Bhagavatam, there's transcendental pastime, and it's all bliss and it's all wonderful. Then, of course, the other one is, well, interesting how that Krishna, he chose to take birth in a prison. I mean, that was a pastime. He had his father and mother, Devaki and Vasudev. And then he was transferred to Gokul. And then he grew up with these coward men and coward girls. And, of course, at one point they just moved from Gokul to Vrindavan. That's also quite an amazing thing. But Krishna, you know, sometimes when I read it, by the way, I'm from Sweden, but that doesn't matter so much. But I used to say that I belong to the Swedish forest tribes. Forests are good, you know, real forests. That's where the sadhus, you know, remember Dhruva Maharaj, his mother said, he asked, so where do I find Narayan? So he said, well, sometimes the sadhus see him in the forest. So then he says, okay, let's go to the forest. It doesn't really say that he appeared in the temple. You know, he give darshan to the devotees, doesn't give temple or the town or like that. He's in the forest, in a natural environment where there many of the great things of the Bhagavatam happens, like the Parikshit Maharaj and Sukadev Goswami, that conversation is by the river under a tree or something like that. In case, Krishna grows up with a coward man in the forest or in a village, in a way natural setting. So I could see it in a different way, that also the Bhagavatam is a little bit of a lesson book, how to live. Because then we have this question, well, what can I take from this and apply in my life? Because now we're living in a very unfortunate time. We are caught up in the complexities of the modern society. And we are separated from ourselves, from the earth, from our mothers. Yeah, we're from our mothers, very much. Maybe we have contact with our own mother, hopefully. Hopefully with the father also. But that is not a given. That's definitely not a given. I mean, so there are seven mothers, and, you know, well, the queen, we don't care too much for. Well, I know how too respectful we are in England. There's a queen here. In Sweden, we have some kind of king. So maybe you're not so separate, because actually she has, I don't know, they visited the Bhante school or something. Not bad, really good. So we are, is the mothers matters. And we have Mother Earth, and we have Mother Cow, and our own mother, in a different way. So we are being very much separated, specifically from the earth. Do we really touch the earth nowadays? We don't. We walk with shoes, driving cars, flying airplanes. Because you can say all these things are coming from the earth. Whatever we have, even the modern technology, is coming from the earth. I mean, the ships. It's not potato chips. Well, Prabhupada said, he says, you can't eat nuts and bolts. So now we can say, you can't eat computer chips, okay? But the earth, it's coming from the earth. So everything. And then we have Mother Cow, and that also, we are very fortunate here at Bhaktivedanta Manor. Andy and he's gone many times, because here there's a vital, active program for taking care of the cows and showing a good example, and not just a good example, a showcase, but actually getting milk and having for the deity worship in a large scale, even though I understand it's not fully, it could be more, and that's a challenge to develop and bring it further, so to say, to make it fully self-sufficient temple, make it a fully self-sufficient temple project with its own protected ahimsa milk for the deities, first of all. So we are fortunate here. It's a great place in that way. I wonder how many cows and oxen would. I think he said 61. But that's one of the things. Do you know how many cows is here? Well, maybe 50, maybe 100. Even the cowman, they said, asking, well, 65, 55. And I guess Pradeep Prabhu told me, no. But I forget also. I think 61, I think he said. I have to go and count them. Have in touch. Brush them. Sometimes it happens. Okay, so but we are very much separated. And in one sense, we could also say that way we also become separated from ourselves. Maybe we become artificial. I'm going to be a devotee. Yeah, that's good. we real devotees, genuine devotees. Hopefully not artificial devotees. Because even if we are artificial, maybe it's not so bad, because we are trying to be devotees. I could say we're trying to be devotees. And then, of course, we're worshipping Krishna, and Krishna, yes, he spoke the Bhagavad Gita and this and that. And he was growing up in a village, in a tribe, I'm sorry, a village of coward men and women and girls and boys. That was where he grown up. And that's where the human beings are meant to grow up in general. I mean, just 100 years ago, how many people lived in the towns and how many lived in the countryside? Well, in Sweden, it was at least 10% of the people were living in the town, and rest were living in the countryside 100 or 200 years ago. And now they're like very proudly declaring that more than 50% of the population of the world is living in towns. But there was someone lamenting in India, some politician, that we don't think we get it up to more than 40%. That's sad. They have to live in the towns. Impersonal and whatever strange things going on. Of course. Then Krishna Nanda Maharaj is going to make this yajna to worship Indra. It makes all sense, worship Indra, because now we're speaking those terms, because Indra gives rain and we need rain, grass grows, cows eats grass, they give milk, we get milk and we can offer it to Krishna, make paneer and all kind of thing, yogurt and cheese and whatever. But and he says, no, I worship Indra. And then he has different arguments. He uses different, some materialistic or karma kanda philosophy to say that this is not, that has to give in any case. Because we are doing our duties, and you know, she has to give, you know, it's not nothing special. But then I like this one. There's one verse there. It just like he ends his arguments. By the way, we're not living in the town. We're not living in the cities. We're not living in the towns. We're not living in the villages, he says in that verse. Because the way we understand it was a village. But he says, now we're living on the mountains and in the forest. That's Krishna. My way of looking at it. He lives on the mountains and in the forest. Therefore, let's worship Govardhan Hill. And that's the final argument. And then Nanda Maharaj says, yes, let's worship Govardhan Hill. And then Krishna is happy. So in that way, we are not living on the mountains, we're not living in the hills. Well, maybe we're living, maybe we have Beverly Hills or some place. But we're living in the towns. Okay, we're not living there, we're living in the towns. And of course, that's Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's, or maybe Krishna's mercy arrangement, that as his demonic civilization develops, and there's all these means of communication, at that time he puts the devotees there. So that they can communicate through all these different medias, and we can travel back and forth and spread the holy name around the world. So that must be Krishna also. Who can understand Krishna? But then Prabhupada said, and he came to Bhaktivedanta Manor, 1977, just his last trip. And then Jnananda Das Goswami, it says, if I remember correct, I excuse myself, I'm getting a little bit old. So maybe, but he said something like that. He was driving Prabhupada, either he was in the car or he was driving Prabhupada, driving Prabhupada here to the manor from the airport. And then what does Prabhupada ask? How is the cows doing? How is the cows doing? That has such a priority. That was, he didn't ask, they had a Sankirtan marathon for Prabhupada. So how many books are distributed? How is the cows doing? Of course, it was his last leg of his life, well, of his appearance on this earth. And he was concerned to establish something. Vanashram or self-sufficiency and something, and he was going to go to Gita Nagari to show how to live that. But he stopped in London. Here. He was here. So that, and then he went back to India. He had to go return. And we can say, so then we, in a way for us, it remains a little bit mystery. There's an instruction, there was a desire from Prabhupada, and we feel maybe a little bit, awkward. How to apply, how did really Prabhupada, he envision it, and how should we do, and how can we do? Jai Sri Sri Rara Gokul Nandan Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai Sri Sri Gonitai Ki Jai. So that way, that is another way we can read the books and seeing, thinking, now what does it mean? Well, Krishna lived in the forest, in the village, in the, how do we live as good followers of Krishna? That's a challenge. So it's a challenge, okay, to take care of cows in this modern age. And then just 50 years ago, for every 10 years, things are changing. In Sweden, I mean, since 1996 to 2006 or something, 10,000 farms was closed down. Very soon you will only have mega farms or something like that. Yesterday we paid a visit We see Sitaram Prabhu to his project, his humble project in one sense, and we pass by one farm, and that farm was something about getting a cow or something from there, good quality. But then they had 250 cows there. It is not much nowadays. 250 cows is not much. There are thousands of cows in one project, as in some place in Sweden. So in any case, it becomes a crazy, crazy world. And here we're sitting with some devotees trying to do something. We, by Krishna's mercy, we have deity worship, and we read about it in this morning after the deity greeting. And, okay, so Hare Krishna. Deity worship is going on, preaching is going on, and protection of cows is not so easy. So, okay, one sentence here, one point of that. So then there's a vegan arguments why we shouldn't drink milk. If we use an excuse, if we use a regular milk, then someone say it's not right. And then someone may say, well, you know, we offer it to Krishna. A warning here, if you use it, the argument that we're offering in Krishna, therefore it's okay. But if that's an excuse for not actively supporting, when they actually, you know, if there is some cow protection or something going on, and there's some way you can support it, do that also, at least. Because otherwise it's just an excuse. Well, I offer it to Krishna, so it's okay. Well, it's nice that we can offer it to Krishna and everyone. There is some benefit, but it's still not okay how cows are treated. So therefore, maybe as a recognition of the cows, well, I'm at least going to do something more to support proper cow protection in the society. So we can do that, because then there's a less, you know, it's not a, otherwise we can be such a hypocrites. We shouldn't be hypocrites. So if there's someone taking care of, if it is ISKCON or not, I don't know, well, a devotee is trying to care, then support it. And of course we have our goshala here also. So, well, we have our goshala here, so everything is okay. Well, maybe not. There's always, one has to be alert going on. Just because someone else does it, therefore I don't have to do anything. Well, okay, at least you give a prayer or appreciation and a donation or or maybe a helping hand when it's required to harvest the hay. Okay, thank you for listening. I thought I was going to leave some place for questions. But then we have a great, okay, Prabhu, my God brother.
Anymore these days, we're so enamored by the massive material manifestation. But Krishna was bathed in cow dung. Krishna was bathed with cow dung. So now they've discovered there's a lot of stuff on the internet about the fact that cow dung is actually an anti-cancer.
Ecstatic.
So you know, maybe we should be more involved with these things, with the earth.
Yeah, and the cow dung. And the cow dung. Let's see. What I would like to do is have an event down by the cow barn and brush the cows. We are feeding them, but there's also brushing. I don't know if it's possible to do, but it's... There's another thing I learned, that B12 vitamins that usually is a deficiency many times in vegetarians is available. You just breathe the dust coming from the cows and you get B12 vitamins. And if you get some dirt, good soil under the fingers, it might be good not to wash it away, because that way you also get B12 vitamins. So there's all kind of things. We are separated from that what is good for us. And in the old times, they didn't need dentists because they eat healthy and whatever, and they didn't even get hole in the teeth. So that is coming with industrialization very much. In any case, it's another matter. Nice to see you here. I don't promise too much. I'm staying here until Tuesday. And let's see what happens in the meantime. Maybe something good comes out of my visit here. I wish so that Krishna bless us so that something good can come out for the cows and for the community here and for the whatever. But that's up to Krishna. But we can pray to him. And okay, Hare Krishna. Now we're going to open the new deity kitchen today, yes? Okay, he said maybe to 8:25, yes. One lady also asked a question. Yes.
About the cow. Well, we know that if someone kills a cow, they have to take the birth for as many hairs as the cow has on the body as cow and be slaughtered. So as devotees, how should we think about this when we see all these cows and they're being slaughtered and we know what the karma is? And okay, my view on this, but maybe I'm wrong, is that because I went to a farm and I felt so helpless about what could I do. I saw what they were doing there. So if we take this milk and we offer it like with special consciousness, this puts so much consciousness of what is it exactly we're giving to Krishna, because he likes milk products. He likes the milk. So for this, and then we're giving a favor to these souls who have been taken birth as cows to be slaughtered because of past karma, according to our philosophy. So by them offering their milk to Krishna, then they make spiritual advancement.
Yes.
As devotees, what else can we do? Because when we go to...
What you can do is, if there is someone protecting cows, that a proper... If there's some way you can support them, do it. Yeah, I mean, it's good. We offer the milk. We should do. And Prabhupada wasn't against it. He did. But that's also my point is, do something. Do a little bit extra, okay? Not just paying the... whatever it... £1 or something for a liter of milk. That's not the real price. It costs much more. It costs the death of the cow. So we can do something extra, okay? Where we are doing something where cows are protected. Support, economically or practically or whatever like that. That's maybe. Do a little bit more, not just minimum, but because that is maximum offering to Krishna. Krishna is satisfied with love and devotion, but then also he is Krishna's cows. Krishna loves them, loved them, whatever. If you can do something, do that also. That creates a little bit, makes it even better and maybe more acceptable to Krishna. Okay, thank you, Hare Krishna. Good luck to you. Back to Bhante Matter. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, go seva ki jai.